The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 16 after 8, and the conversation continues. Friend of the program, talked with him off and on for years, Captain William E. Simpson. More than just a former merchant marine and winner of, Doomsday Preppers, right? You won one of the seasons that one time, right, Bill? Welcome back.
Good morning. Yeah, that was season 2. Yeah. I guess I'm never going to live that down, right?
Nope, you are never going to win. Well, you know, not many people talk about trying to prepare and going out on a boat, but you ended up winning on prepping to survive Armageddon on a boat. Gotta love that. Gotta love that. You really do. It's counterintuitive for most people, right? You're thinking it's not like Waterworld, that lousy Kevin Costner movie, right? Remember that?
No, yeah. The one thing that was pretty valuable is the training of, you know, basically how to survive in a situation where there are no resources available. You can't, when you're out there, if you're not like totally ready for whatever, fire on board the boat or some sort of a problem, you don't get to go down to the local hardware store. You don't get it, you know, you better have it with you and know how to do it.
You know? It's either with you or it's not existent. And if you have one, well, one is none and two is one, right, of something.
Yeah. Yeah, when things go wrong out there, boy, there's no saving grace. You die real quick.
Now, by the way, since I don't know if you've worked with Hollywood enough, but I'm kind of curious with Waterworld, just thinking back of a bad Kevin Costner movie, how was it that in this watery world they all had tons of cigarettes? Isn't that amazing? I wonder where they got that.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think the guys on the Exxon Valdez must have somehow had a shipment of Marlboro or something.
Yeah, must have been. Hey, let's talk about some serious stuff, though, that you brought to my attention. And Jay Martin has an article in Siskiyou.News, and he's going down a road that you have traveled several times, and you have been raising the alarm on how government and the bureaucracy seems to be doing nothing about mitigating wildlife death over there at the dam removals on the Klamath. And the pictures that are in this article and stuff that you have sent me there, it's just heartbreaking. And I was telling folks just a few minutes ago, Captain Bill, by the way, you know Captain Bill Simpson, Wild Horse Fire Brigade, we know about that. You were telling me how there was supposed to be a fence to protect wildlife from all of the hazards of these millions of tons of drying clay. What is it, like 1,000 acres of it? And we're getting wildlife dying on it right and left, animals and horses and deer. I mean, everything. Break down this story, and I'm wondering, why isn't there a fence that was promised there by the dam removal folks? But what do we know?
So, when KRC went to the government agencies to do dam removal, they knew damn well that there would be a lot of damage and chaos with regard to this. There would be millions and millions of animals being killed, and the government gave them what is known as a takings permit, which allows you the accidental death of animals. I mean, they're allowed.
Is that all that different from what Dr. Cohen was talking to me last hour, that you put the windmill up and you're allowed to kill a certain amount of bald eagles, California condors, that kind of thing?
They estimate how many animals will be killed for instance in this dam removal project, and then they give you a permit. But here's what the permit says: when you read the law, it says you're not relieved of your duty to minimize the loss of wildlife because, let's say, it says you can kill 20 bald eagles, okay? That doesn't mean you just get sit back and let them all die. You have to take reasonable steps to limit the loss of wildlife. So with that said, back last year in April and May, I had discussions with Dave Kaufman at RES, and I said, look.
And what is RES again for those that don't know, Bill?
Oh, I'm sorry. Resource Environmental Services, right?
Okay.
So I think they're owned by AECOM. And which a company that my memory seems to tell me that there's some sort of involvement with China and AECOM. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Dave Kaufman is the local head honcho. He lives up in Jacksonville. He showed up here and all of a sudden he's wearing a cowboy hat. He walks around here like he's some sort of a cowboy. But I told him, I said, look, you know, we're the owners of the herd of horses. These are heritage horses. They're quite valuable. They're part of our whole heritage and tradition in this area. They go all the way back to Sir Francis Drake in 1580. And additionally, you know, not only do we have the horses that are going to go into the mud, and this is, remember, this is, we're talking April, May of 2023, before the winter of 2024 when they pull the plug and drain the lake. So
because they knew this dam removal was coming, right? We were trying,
yeah,
but
yeah,
we knew,
you knew
it was coming. And that there would be this nasty clay field, and it's 1,000 acres or so, right? Just want to be clear.
Well, the footprint of the lake, so when the footprint of the lake is, I don't know, it's about 2,000 acres, but of the two lakes. But anyway, mm-hmm. So we had this discussion early on. He was supposed to, you know, get together with me. We're going to look at alternative water, which was discussed in their planning with the county, with other people, with FERC, and also the fencing to keep animals out of the clay mud in January. And so, and we know it's clay mud because Gethardt Engineering came down here in 2006 and did the analysis that it's 78% pure clay in these lake bottoms. That's a lot of clay. So, and clay, keep in mind, is the smallest particulate in sediment. Sediment is made up of clay being microscopic, then silt, which is the next largest particle size, then sand, and then gravel. So 78% clay. So anyway, okay, so there was this agreement. You know, Dave said, yeah, I'll call you up. We'll get together. We can identify, you know, alternative water and this and that. Well, there was no response after that meeting that I had with him. And then time went on, and I talked to the county about it, and they said they've been pressing them to, you know, what are they going to do about the fence? What are they going to do about the fence? They never put it up, and then they pulled the plug in January 23rd. They drained they went off plan. They were supposed to drain the lake over several months. Instead, they drained it in a matter of several days, which caused all kinds of issues. You know, sediment went down the river, killed all the fish all the way to the coast. Crabs coming up in crab pots on the coast dead. I mean, they wiped out the river. And then, and it's all photographs. This isn't like theory or estimate. I mean, we have pictures of the whole damn thing. And then we started seeing all these animals caught in the mud and dying, elk and deer. And these are, and the other thing people need to understand, the pictures you see on the internet are just samples of what went on, because it's not like everybody's standing out there all day long around a, you know, a 2,900 acre area with cameras waiting to catch the next animal sinking down in the mud. And some of them went out there and sank immediately out of sight. So, and there's a lot of places where you can't see animals trapped and dying in the mud.
Oh, so the animals are already dead, but underneath, and it's like a quicksandy sort of thing, even though it's clay, right?
Yeah. In January, when that mud was wet, it was like quicksand. And, you know, there was pictures of elk. You know how big an elk is.
Huge.
Bull elk. And these bull elk are caught in the mud, and they sank down so far, all you could see was their antlers sticking up out of the mud. That's how deep this stuff was.
Okay, now wait a minute. Didn't KRRC put no trespassing signs? Why didn't the elk and the deer and the horses read the sign?
I guess they didn't graduate elementary school or something. I don't know. But the thing is, okay, we knew this was going to happen. They were obligated to put up the fence. They didn't. They didn't observe the rule for the takings. The taking says you have to minimize the loss of wildlife. They did not do that. They did not engage in a simple exercise of fencing the dangerous mud. Now, we lost a lot of animals last winter. There's no doubt about it. All kinds of animals went in that mud and died. And some of these animals, these deer up around Copco, were very dear to the people there. You got all these old people up there that know these deer since they were little babies. And they had to watch them suffer and die in the mud right in front of their eyes. It's like watching a family member go down in the quicksand.
Yeah, my question, though, is that there was a requirement to put up fencing around this and provide alternative water for the wildlife, because the deer and the elk and all the other animals of the ecosystem there are doing what they have been doing for 60-something years there, coming over to the Klamath River and the lakes to drink. It was a safe place for them to come. So why wasn't...
Yeah, the same thing with livestock, too. You know,
right.
The horses need to get water, too. And so do some of the cows that are in the area. So anyway, on the south side of the river, we have a herd of cows. So, yeah, so we saw that I mean, it was a horrific sight. And you think KRSC and RES would act and get the fence up immediately. No. They delayed. Then they deferred responsibility. Oh, well, we think, you know, Trout Unlimited, or we think like the Karuk or the Yurok ought to go do this, or, you know, because it's about the money.
But wait a minute, though. They did it. They made it happen. The Karuk didn't make it happen. Yeah, the Karuk are in on the grift, I imagine, with restoration funds, and like any other tribal source would be doing. Yeah, they always get bought off on these kind of things, in my opinion. But, I mean, everybody gets bought off, it seems, including Siskiyou County. But it's not the Karuk's job to do, is it?
No, anyway, yeah. So the fence, you know, they're trying to defer blame, and they should have done it, and And then,
are these the same people running the Secret County Service? It's not my fault, right? Is that what's going on?
So the county, you know, Bill, the county was upset about all this. And, you know, Michael Kopstaff, our Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and I was down there in a meeting, I don't know, a few weeks ago. He said, it feels like the vultures are circling our county. That's a quote. He says, it feels like the vultures are circling our county. And, you know, and he says, he wants to take a tougher stance, and including with the BLM and the monument and their updated resource management plan, which is, you know, they want to come down and tell us how to run it. But the, going back to the sediment now, you know, so they wrote a letter to FERC. They had Nossaman, which is their big law firm, write a letter to FERC and say, look, you know, here's boom, boom, bang, bang. And it's in that article that at Siskiyou News that Jay Martin wrote about the excerpt from the letter. It's a 10-page letter, but there's an excerpt about the extensive fencing that was supposed to be put up. And so they have a duty to limit losses. They have a duty. Just because you have a permit, the takings, you have a duty to limit losses. And they have not observed that duty. And then, so here we are today, and now what's happening is this clay has this shrink expansion ability that's quite amazing.
Yeah, I was looking at the pictures on Jay Martin's article. It's cracking. Huge cracks.
Yeah.
And what, there was this picture, it was horrendous. There was this little colt, this young colt that had apparently fallen into the cracks of it, and then it's into the muck, and what, it must have just cooked in the sun until it finally died. Is that what happened?
Right. So there's no mud anymore. What's happened is the clay has shrank, and you have these big islands that range from 12 inches across to 3 feet across, surrounded by these massive cracks, and these cracks range from a few inches to 20 inches wide. And so there's animals now going out there because it's still not fenced. There still is an alternative water. The animals are going out there to try to get to the water, and they're also going out there because they're looking, you know, they're browsing. They're doing what the deer and the horses do. They walk around, they browse, they need a drink of water, they go down to the lake, or they're trying to get to the river because the creeks are starting to dry up. And so you got these massive cracks, and this poor little horse, I mean, this little baby was really dear to us. I mean, a sweet little guy.
That horse was one of yours?
Yeah, we owned the herd.
Oh, okay. So this is your herd. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. Michelle and I, in 2022, we've been taking care of the herd for 10 years, you know, putting tens of thousands of dollars. Last year, we put almost a little bit over $55,000 into the herd. Taking care of them because they're a heritage horse. They are part of our culture and tradition here. You know, George Wright, the famous cowboy here, wrote all about them, the wild ones, he called. And he separated in his diary between the domestics and the wild ones.
Okay, well, are you going to sue for the value of this horse? Because KRRC and the people who have done this have obviously left an attractive nuisance in place, have they not?
Yeah, we're going to bring litigation, and for many reasons, and I'm probably going to have to talk to Vermont Law about the fact that they've negated their duty. They have not observed their duty to limit losses. They have a duty with that takings permit to limit losses. You just don't get to say, oh, we get to kill 100 deer or we get to kill 20 eagles and just sit back and let 20 eagles die. No, that's not how it works. So anyway, this little poor little guy, you know, he went out there and he fell down. I mean, he's an 80-pound horse, fell into this crack and couldn't get out, and then struggled in the 110-degree heat and literally got cooked alive.
Yeah, but he was never supposed to have been able to get there in the first place, according to the plans that had been made when KRRC was to remove the dam. Now, my question here, are they trying to run the clock out or are they trying to run the money out? Because KRRC, if I understand it correctly, I'm no expert on it, but it only has money that Pacific Power or Pacific Corp gave it, you know, originally or transferred it, even though we paid a lot of money for dam removal and mitigation. We were forced to on our power bills. Or are they hoping that it'll get to the point where will the clay just go away? Will next winter it be okay once the rains come and then safe?
No, that's not how it works with this stuff. Okay, so these cracks, some of these cracks are 4 or 5 feet deep. In between these islands. And like I say, if you and I went out there, you could fall in. And the thing is I might not be able to get another human out because these islands you're standing on are very fragile. It's just clay. So if you put too much downward pressure while you're standing there trying to pull something up out of the crack, you could collapse down in. I mean, it's really hazardous stuff. And what will happen is when it gets wet, it's like a sponge. The cracks will close again. And then engulf. So all the animals that are falling in right now, and I'm going to have to do a drone mission over these cracks. I didn't realize they were like this, until we got this word last weekend that, hey, there's vultures flying around something, Bill. You better go look. So I went down there with my binoculars. I could see there was something, but I couldn't tell what it was. And we have a duty under livestock law. It doesn't matter. Open range, if it's private property, open range, if it's unfenced, we can go out there and check on the safety and welfare of our animals. That's what the law is. And so we have a duty to take care of our livestock. So I went out there and took a look, and here's this little baby. But I didn't realize these cracks were like they were. But they do, because their people are out there all the time. Their people, the Yurochs have been out there, and all their, RES people have been out there. They knew about these cracks. You think they would warn us? Do you think they would tell us? No, they didn't.
Well, obviously, it's embarrassing to the environmental, the vast quantity of environmental stewards involved in dam removal here. And I'm sure that JPR is going to report this quite deeply. I have no doubt, right? I'm being a little sarcastic about this.
They'll cover it up. They don't want to report any of the real science. They don't want to report any of that or any of the negative outcomes that are very real as well. They want to obfuscate. They want to cover it up. They want to gloss. For instance, like KRRC, guess what they did on the dry hydrant thing that won't suck any water? The intake's above the water.
Right.
Well, what they did is they immediately put out a story that, oh, look how wonderful we – and guess what? They showed a hydrant where the intake was about 6 inches under up at Jenny Creek, making it look like, oh, it looks good. Well, it's not.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. You talked about that last week, though. You can't suck a huge amount of water through a hydrant with the intake just a half foot below the surface. It's not going to happen.
You can't. And after we did that show, a recently retired Medford fireman who actually ran a tender truck called me up, and he says, Bill, you're right. He says, that you'll get a Venturi. Start sucking on that, and you get a Venturi. And he starts sucking air, and he said the one that's above the water, he took a picture of that. That's not gonna suck anything; it's just there. So the tender shows up, and he. But anyway, they keep covering up all of these things, and because they don't want it. If we don't learn the lesson from these failures, they're gonna carry the same, circus show, this clown show, to some other river. And some other community or city is going to get decimated by the fallout of all this.
Well, you have been warning the area, and we've been involved in this, warning about this for years. And my question is the Siskiyou County government just totally supine to this problem of KRRC's, not following what they said they were going to do and not worrying about the takings and not worrying about the fire hydrants? Because, this is in Siskiyou County. This is Siskiyou County's Bailey. This is their wheelhouse right now. What's the county up to in this?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. This is my opinion now I'm expressing.
Okay, just opinion.
Generally speaking, I think a lot of the conservatives that are in this county, most of the conservative people I know are gentle people. They're gentlemen and gentlewomen, and they're considerate. They're not these, a lot of these extremist left-wing people, that you see out there are violent. The vitriol that comes from these people, the attacks, they want to come off like they're all so friendly to the environment, but most of them live in the cities, you know, and most of them don't know anything about what's going on out here. And boy, they want to argue with you till the cows come home, but they don't know anything about what they're talking about. And so the county has been very gentlemanly. You know, our board of supervisors are good people. You know, they got good hearts, but they're overwhelmed. You know, I've been going to the meetings lately, and you can see the frustration. And then, you know, Mike Kovsev, the chairman, recently said, because he says they're just constantly taking advantage of us. And he says, you know, it's time we're going to have to take it. And he said this, we're going to have to take a tougher tack with these people. You know, he tries to be nice and work with them. You know, he wants to be collaborative. We got hosed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, collaborative in this case means you're working with the enemy. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think what they mean it in the true sense of, look, you come talk to us and we'll tell you how to do it right. That's what I think he means. Okay, I don't think he means like the green, you know, the Grant Gang green like you're talking about. I think in this county, we realize that, you know, we're fighting with the state, and we're a tiny little podunk county fighting with the state, and then also people out of New York, American Rivers, and all these other people. We're fighting with all these people. We're not getting any help, by the way. Jackson County's not coming down here and giving us any help. You know,
it's not in Jackson County. I think it's the way they look at it.
Yeah, I understand, but we're not getting any political help. They're staying in their lane, and as it said. So,
what about congressional help? Let's say LaMalfa. Where's LaMalfa on this? It's his district.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't get along with LaMalfa because he didn't like horses. For some reason, him and his aide Aaron Ryan don't like horses.
He must not like deer and elk either. Apparently.
Well, apparently
or cattle.
Because he's really slow acting. I he's a big rice farmer. I mean, he wears the cowboy hat when he comes around here, but, you know, he's a big rice farmer down there in the valley. And so I've tried to reach out to him to work with him, but now he don't even reply to me. He, you know, the fact that I'm trying to reduce fire, and fire seems to be, you know, the Forest Service and other people are monetizing fire now.
Yeah, I get it. But you would think, though, that LaMalfa also would not want a county in his district to be manhandled by gangrene and the KRRC mob.
It's a shame that they're not more proactive. I mean, it's more reactive. You know, he's showing a couple months ago, he's showing pictures that we gave him 2 years ago. I mean, it's like, he went up in front of an empty house meeting. You know, there's nobody in the audience, and he's holding up pictures that we took and gave, you know, that went through the circuit here. You know, they went up, and I think Aaron Ryan got them, or I think a Spangler got them. And,
yeah.
And then they went to him. But anyway, but the county, I think, is pretty damn fed up. And when you read the Nossman letter, you can see that they're really fed up. They're starting, I think, they're people that were hoping, you know, that we could actually maybe work a little bit with the state to make this a better outcome, but everybody just gives us the finger. I mean, you know, KRRC just flat out told our board that they're not going to report to them anymore. They're just not going to report to them anymore because when the county finds out what's wrong, the county reacts and the KRRC doesn't like it, you know, and just like these, what's happening right now. Guess what? Well, they're putting up a fence finally. They're out there driving posts in the ground, and instead of fencing off the shoreline, you know what they're doing? They're fencing it all the way up to the road. And, okay, so that means they're protecting property that needs to be grazed for fire. They're basically, you know, that's going to be overgrown, and it's going to be grass right up to the edge of the road now. And then guess what? They're not even putting up a legal fence. They didn't bother to ask any of the livestock producers around here or the county, what's a legal fence in your county? They're going to put up an electric fence that's not going to keep nothing out. Nothing. Oh. Electric fence, a two-strand electric fence, that's what they're putting up.
Oh, it's cheap. I'll bet it's cheap, though, right?
It's a big. Ding, chicken dinner. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly why they're doing it. Instead of putting up 6-foot-high field fence that would keep cattle and horses out, they're just going to put up an electric fence, which is illegal. It basically, it's not a legal fence to turn away cattle or livestock or deer. The deer will hop right over it.
Sure.
The bunnies, you know, that's not going to stop anything. They didn't bother to ask anybody. You got all these city people who come out here. They don't know anything. And they're just going to do it their way because they read a book or saw a movie one time, you know.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, as I disparagingly term it, it's like Dances with Wolves environmental policy, right? Everything's taken from a Hollywood movie in some form or another.
It's crazy. So the county, I think they realize that these people are nefarious. You know, they're just not interested in the welfare of the.
Well, if they had $20,000 or whatever it took to actually get that legal letter written to them, why don't they put some money into it and sue the daylights out of KRRC and the people who are not holding up their end of the bargain? What do you think?
I think that they, you know, there's obviously budgetary constraints. Yeah, they probably spent $10,000 for that letter, maybe five. I don't know. I'm not going to guess on that. It's probably not cheap, though. But the thing is the county does have budget constraints. I realize that. But this is a time now where, you know, they're kind of feeling like, well, we lost the war. Why do we want to spend more money on it?
But they lost the war. Okay, they may have lost the war on the dam, but it doesn't mean you sit there and lie supine and just let KRRC and the other goons involved in this, you know, a former head of Sabroso who made this his life's goal, you know, to remove this dam. You know, to do this doesn't mean you just let them have their way with people and the wildlife. It's like you're supposed to be still fighting for the health, safety, and welfare of your community. And just because you lost the first part of it, what, you just collapse? That don't make sense here, Captain Bill.
We're not. I mean, the locals aren't. I'm not. I mean, the thing is right now, you know, we're at jeopardy to burn our with this whole community could burn down now because. So far, you know, now McMillan, I guess, went down there and looked at what I took pictures of, okay? They go, oh. And so they went down there and looked and go, yeah, okay, this one's just going to suck air, this one. And so I guess now they're going to try to develop an old well that's down at the foot of the Iron Gate Dam and put in maybe 16,000 gallons of water for fire. But 16,000 gallons of water is great. It's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, but it's not a replacement for the 45 billion gallons of water on a lake that a scoop plane could get.
Yeah.
And then a tanker truck could back up at any boat ramp and fill up or the helicopters could easily dip. All that's gone. Scoop plate's gone. The helicopters dip mud now. They can't get anything.
But just repeat after me, Captain Simpson, is that this is being done for the fish. Repeat after me. Just, you know, oh, man. I'll tell you, at this point, there has to be lawsuits. There have to be some lawsuits filed or else they get away with it, in my opinion.
And I can't sue for the county, but I'll tell you what. You know, we lost a dear little horse, the sweet little boy. And those horses are to us are priceless.
You're going to take it in small claims? You're going to do it in small claims?
Yeah, I think our administrative judges here are fair.
The reason I bring this up is that they can't use really expensive legal help to come in there and try to buffalo, you know, the world away, right? Isn't that the way that
Right, yeah. There's a $12,000 statutory limit, so we'll do the statutory limit for that loss of that horse. And then any other horses, it'll be the same story. So, yeah, we'll take that in. But I'm going to try to talk to the county about, you know, co-opting a lawsuit. Maybe we'll bring Vermont Law, who wants to see intelligent environmental action, not this reckless, you know, smash and grab. This is a smash and grab operation. You're right. KRRC, as soon as they feel the heat of too much litigation, they'll just file bankruptcy. And then they'll say, sorry, we're out of here. Boom, gone. And then you're suing. The next layer underneath that you'd have to go after would be the state of Oregon and the state of California, because FERC said they're on the line for all liability.
That's right. FERC said that because our gangrene governors all got together and, oh, we agree that this is what we're going to do. This is that consensus, that fraudulent consensus process here. So, Bill, keep us informed on that. And thanks for pointing us out to the article. Jay Martin has this on Siskiyou.news. More needless tragedy related to Klamath Dam removal. I'm sure you're going to see it all over OPB and JPR
They canceled my interview because they're talking about their baby that didn't come out so beautiful. And, they just don't want to face the reality of this dam removal project. If we don't face the realities of the outcomes that we're seeing, this gigantic ecological disaster, this is the largest ecological disaster in probably on the West Coast in a long time, you know. And, I mean, when you look at the billions of life forms with a B were killed, billions of life forms, you know, you got to look at even the crawdads, too, the native.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a shift show from day one on this, Captain Simpson. Yeah. Captain Bill Simpson, hey, I'm just out of time at this point. You're always welcome back here. But thanks for pointing out that I'm glad that some people are paying attention to it. I know you're not exactly making money doing this, okay?
No, we're not. And Siskiyou News is doing an amazing job. I mean, because we had the gangrene newspaper here for a while. They're kind of gone under. And Jay Martin has stepped in, and I mean, that guy's a warrior for the truth. And, you know, he's doing a hell of a good job with Siskiyou News. He's like funding this out of his back pocket. And people need to support Jay Martin and Siskiyou News, because this is the only honest news reporting coming out of this county right now is Siskiyou News.
Yeah.
Siskiyou.news. That's it.
Glad to know it, Phil. But thanks for keeping us informed on it, too. North of the border, too. All right. Thanks, Bill.
All right, thank you.
All right. It's 8:46, ran a little bit long, but I wanted to, you know, hear about this. It's like, what, is everyone just collapsing in the face of injustice here? I don't know. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Mm-mm, good. Artisan Bakery Cafe Summer Special.
10 before 9, 770-5633. By the way, we're still looking at about 600 customers in Southern Oregon out of power. Areas in Grants Pass, west of Grants Pass, also Gold Hill still hit, parts of Rogue River, a bit up and down the Rogue, the I-5 corridor. Rumor has it, according to Pacific Power, that most of this should be back on by 11. Of course, that could change. Depends on what is going on. I really don't know what caused a lot of these outages, if it was just wind damage, tree damage, but one way or the other, Pacific Power is on the case about this, okay? So we've been talking about some pretty serious heavy-duty stuff, and we need a dad joke, to like a palate cleanser. We just need one, okay? And dad joke of the day. Well, let me just do the dad joke first, okay? What did the baby corn say to mama corn? Where's popcorn? I love these, all right? Dad jokes of the day are sponsored by TwoDogsFab.com. Two Dogs Fabrication. It's on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Now, you can come up with a better joke. Go to twodogsfab.com and then submit it, and then maybe I'll read that, all right? By the way, Two Dogs Fabricating can do any kind of hitch or tongue repair for this camping season. You got something broken metal, boy, they do all sorts of fabricating repair. And Delco and Iron Bull made by North Star Trailers, they sell flatbeds, exclusive North Star dealer. And if you're working in the fire season deal, they can help you in that and a whole lot more. Metal fabrication, work in dump trailers, truck and beds, they do it all, okay? TwoDogsFab.com. 8:52. All right, let's have a little bit of fun, and we have a little bit of open phone time if you wanted to dig in. 770-5633. And before I leave, yes, we're going to give away some more Rogues tickets and also fair tickets. I have just a little bit. I want to make sure that everybody goes out there and has some fun in spite of the craziness that is called these United States.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
It's 5 before 9. Let me go to Brad, because I always play polkas if we get Brad, if I can have the time to know that he's there. Brad, you wanted to weigh in. And it's not as happy as a polka, but it has to do with the Trump assassination attempt.
Yeah.
What say you?
You know, we're getting a lot of data now that we're getting a couple days, well, week or whatever, since the event. But apparently two factoids that are going to be very dynamic. Apparently this kid that did the shooting was a pen pal of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And he could speak Russian.
Okay. Well, you know, that reminds me of the funny but not so funny meme, the one that has Hillary Clinton looking kind of puzzled. And what do you mean they missed?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You think ultimately that's where we're going to see more conspiracy in this than at first thought?
Who knows? I mean, the bottom line is there should be people held accountable, and that's the Secret Service.
Okay. Appreciate the call there. Let me go to the next line on the Bill Myers Show. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Bill, this is Ken. Ken. I just had a weird thought. I mean, you were talking about all these endangered species and that there's go-arounds to bypass these laws and rules.
Yeah, yeah, you get a taking as long as you're doing gangrene and liberal causes, essentially.
So why weren't any of these applicable to the spotted owl situation years and years ago to get around that problem?
Political will. Would that make sense to you? There is no political will to do it, and I think the left is much better at lawfare, or was better at lawfare. And I think there was a bit of a, well, of course, look at the legal profession. Vast majority are of left-wing persuasion. And they may not have been interested in getting involved. You think so? I'm just...
Yeah, it sure did decimate our economy around here. That's kind of all I'm seeing.
Yeah, because the idea was to have our own kind of, as J.D. Vance would term it, the hillbilly elegy for Southern Oregon instead. Yeah, I don't think it was a mistake, or I don't think it was a coincidence, that's all. Let me grab another one. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? Hello?
Roadwalker.
Hey, Roadwalker. What's up?
Hey, I want everybody to keep their eyes out. Next thing coming, Trump Force One. You know, don't take much to put a bomb in a Coca-Cola bottle and put it on an airplane.
Well, I hope you're wrong about that, but...
I hope I am, too.
You know, Roadwalker, I was talking with a gentleman on the phone a few minutes ago when I was giving away some prizes, and he was telling me about he knows what Trump is going through because he was shot in an incident at one point a number of years ago. And he says, I got to tell you, it takes a long time to get away from your head on the swivel kind of thing. You're always looking over your shoulder from that point forward.
I hope he has great protection, and I just hope to God saved his life. There's no doubt in my mind.
Very good. Hey, appreciate you calling in. Okay. Thanks, Roadwalker.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. 8:58 and change here. That's going to wrap it up, but it doesn't wrap up the winning. I still have two pairs of tickets to the Jackson County Fair along with parking. I'll give them to you. Your choice first. And four tickets left for the Medford Rogues home season. Your choice. 770-5633-770-KMED. We'll talk about it again tomorrow, Conspiracy Theory Thursday.